Let us all say amen. I want to thank our brother for leading us in hymns to our Lord on this afternoon. And thank you, those brothers that have participated thus far, offering prayer, scripture reading, and in administering communion and leading us through offering to our Lord. And I want to thank you for being on the call this afternoon to listen to another portion of God's Word. And just want to thank Brother Brooks again for the excellent message on this morning. And so we will look at God's Word on this afternoon. For those that are with us that may not be members of the Church of Christ, you are our VIPs, our very important persons. And those things that we want you to know, Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So we know from the Word of God that man was not designed, according to Jeremiah, to lead himself. But Jesus said when he gave the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:33, he prioritized man's spiritual life when he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So the kingdom of God is what Jesus identified was to be the priority in man's life. And then we find that that came to fruition in Acts 2 and the verses number 47. The Bible says, they praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. So the church is none other than the kingdom of God, and the Lord adds those that are obedient to the church. And so we see from that verse in Acts 2:47 that those that are saved are added to the church. I want to thank you again for being with us as we study another portion of God's Word. And I just want to say that I'm enjoying the studying of the book of first letter that John wrote, the first letter of John that was written, and hopefully I can share with you from my studies that will be a blessing to you and an encouragement to you also. We're speaking from the subject in 1 John 2, where John said, my little children, these things write I unto you. John wrote this letter about those that are Christians. And again, we're talking to those specifically. He was talking to Christians. However, those that are not Christians that's on the call, we will share with you how one become a Christian. The Apostle John wrote this letter to Christians that he will share with them about if and when and what happens when the Christians sin. We'll find as we begin reading the text. And I want to say it may be important to remember that when the Apostle John wrote this letter, the chapters and the verses of the text was not there. And what is referred to as chapter 1, we studied how the Christian last Sunday, the Christian is able to walk in the light, the conditions upon which forgiveness is possible by a confession of sins and the forsaking of them. So when we look at this first letter that John wrote, again, the chapter and verses were added by man, but John wrote a letter to them. And he said in that letter, I'll pick up at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. John said, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Talking about sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And so when we get to what we call chapter 2, John then says, my little children, these things I write unto you. It's my title. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. He wrote this letter. He said to those, he called us his little children. This is used figuratively. It shows his affection as a teacher to those his disciples. He said to them, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also to the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So when John wrote this part of the letter, he uses in the text some if and some he that saith. And so he was looking at and allowing us to look at our relationship and the things that we may proclaim and the things that we may say. And so John wrote those things, and you'll find in the text when he says those, he that saith, he that does this and does that, or say this and say that, it is written in John's letter. So going back to verse 1, that he wanted us to not sin. But he wanted us to know that a sin, by definition, means to miss the mark. All of us have inward, I talked about this last week, we have inward impulses that produces actions or behaviors different from what is expected of the Christian, and that's when we miss the mark. That John calls, he says, is sin. When we miss the mark, when those impulses we talked about that gets the better of us. But John said that those impulses, and I'll say now, we, those that are note takers, we sin through, we talked about last week, the weakness of our flesh. That's Romans 6 and 19. We also sin by ignorance to the scriptures. That's Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. And sometimes our sin are unintentional acts by which we sin, Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 13. So John talks about that if you sin, if you sin, and so we thought that you sin not, but if we do sin, if we sin by weakness of our flesh or through ignorance or not knowing the scriptures or behaviors that are not one that constitute Christianity, John said, if we do sin, we have an advocate with God the Father. And that advocate is Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so when we look at an advocate is one that gives aid as one who pleads the cause of another. An advocate is like a legal counsel for the defense. Christ is our lawyer in the court of heaven. He pleads with God the Father on the behalf of the Christian. And so John said concerning that, verse number 2, and he is the propitiation for our sin. And he said, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So when we look at the definition of propitiation, it's a means whereby sin is covered and forgiven. A means whereby sin is covered and forgiven through Christ's sacrificial death. God shows mercy to the sinner for the sins committed, and that's through Christ's death on the cross. And as John said, he did not just die for those that are of us that are Christians. He died for the entire world. Now, three things about propitiation that I want you to grasp as we understand what that means or how our sins are covered. Well, Christ propitiates God, rendering him favorable toward us because of what Christ did. He reconciles or brings about friendship between us and God. And then he pays the debt of sin, allowing those who are obedient to the gospel to be released from the sin debt that we could not pay. So I want to show us that in the scripture. Look first at Romans chapter 3, and the verse is number 25. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 25 wants to see first how Christ became the propitiation for us. And that Romans, Paul wrote in Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So what Paul said here to those Romans is that what God did was set forth a propitiation of God, allowed Christ to be a substitute for us through faith in the blood that Christ shed on the cross. And what he did was he declared his righteousness for the remission or forgiveness of our sins that are past through God's forbearance that God had, and God's patience that he had. So Christ did that for us on the cross, that we, through our obedience, receive remission or forgiveness of the sins that we had done. And not only that, we're going to come back to Romans, but secondly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the verse is number 18, is where we find that Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So what Paul said to those Corinthians then, he said, now all things are of God. And what God did, God reconciled, God restored friendship to him by Christ's death on the cross. And what he did was he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And that's what Holland Heights have done over the past year on the nationwide gospel call. What we have done, we've taken this ministry of trying to reconcile those people who have sinned and have fallen outside of God's friendship. We have, over the last year, thankful to Brother Brooks and Brother Flounder for leading this effort and bringing over 150 preachers on the gospel call, that they preach the Word of God, that the Word of God, the Bible, is right. And what the effort was trying to reconcile people back to God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we all, Holland Heights, we have that ministry today, that we're trying to reconcile people back to God through the gospel. That is our ministry that we have. That's our ministry that we have. And all of us should be a part of that ministry, trying to bring friends and family and even enemies, if you have such, that they be reconciled to God. We restore their relationship, because when they sin, that relationship is broken. And so through their obedience to the gospel, they can be reconciled back to God. That's what Christ did on the cross when he died, that sacrificial death, that God would show mercy to the sinner. And then we find, go back to Romans briefly, chapter 3 and verse number 24, show the third act that Christ did by his death on the cross, when John said his propitiation for us. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, notice what happened. Paul said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So that redemption was, the word redemption means on payment of a ransom. So what Christ did with his death on the cross, he paid the debt of sin that was due, that was owed. He paid that debt with his death on the cross. That's the payment. That's the ransom that Paul told Timothy. He gave himself a ransom for all. Yeah, Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he said that in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 6, this is what John wrote about Christ being the propitiation. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, Paul wrote, as Brother Brooks talked about this morning, where you find denominationalism, and he talked about the catechism, the Catholic faith. Well, if they were to read the Bible, just two verses in the Bible would let me know there is no such person as a pope that is a mediator, because in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5, the Bible reads, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. The pope is not a mediator for man, between man and God. That is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, why? And he became a mediator. The Bible says, who gave himself a ransom. Jesus died on the cross for all. And the Bible says to be testified in due time. So when we read the Bible, when John told them that Christ is the propitiation for our sins. Our sins. But it was for the entire world that Christ died for. And then John said, and hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And so what John said, we know that we know him if, notice now he's saying if again, we keep his commandments. The word know in this verse indicates a relationship between the person knowing and the object that is known. In other words, what John was saying, that man has a relationship with God if we keep the commandments of God. What are commandments? Commandments are that which is imposed by law. Commandments, they are rules given by God that tell people how to behave. And so as we walk through this, John did some ifs and he just said, and I want to say that Paul, when he wrote in Titus chapter number 1 of Titus chapter 1 and the verse is number 16, Titus 1 and the verse is number 16, Paul in writing to Titus, know what he said? They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. See, we need to understand, we can profess that we are Christian. We can profess we are members of the Church of Christ, but what John wanted to know, how do you know that? One does not truly know God who will not conform or obey his will. Church talk is cheap. Yeah, we talk about it. We talk about it. Yeah, he says, he that says, I know him, verse 4, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Yeah. He that says, I have a relationship with Christ, and we don't do the commands of Christ, that person, John says, is a person who lies, and the truth is not in him. I said on last week about the fact that those that say, I'm a Christian, those that say, I love God, those that say, we'll talk about that as we get into text, but I'm not faithful to God. I'm not doing the commands of God. We talked about last Sunday, we talked about those being faithful to worship service. When it comes to assembling, we're looking forward to that building being restored, those that assemble at Highland Heights. Our numbers on Sunday morning should be matched on Sunday evening unless an individual has to work in the afternoon. I may have to work in the morning. If not, we should be faithful to Sunday morning and Sunday evening. If we say, I know him, and keep not his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth, John said, is not in him. John said that. Yeah. Am I faithful in my attendance? And not only that, am I faithful? We talk about Christian worship. We attend worship service. Am I giving to the Lord faithfully as I prosper? Or am I one, my brother Brooks talked about this morning, those that profit money, do I give to the Lord after I've paid off my bills and paid my car note, paid my house note? Or when I get my check or my earnings, does the Lord money come first? And then other monies I have, I pay my bills that I need to pay. And then also, do I set aside something for those less fortunate than me? So am I faithful to the Lord? Jesus said, or John said here, if I don't keep his commandments, now I'm lying. If I'm not giving faithful to the Lord, John said, I'm lying because I am supposed to keep the commandments of God. But whoso, verse 5, keepeth his word, John says, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. John says, if you keep his word, then the love of God is operating through you. It is being accomplished in you. And John said, that's how we know that he is in him. He that said, notice now he starts talking about things that we people proclaim. He that said, he abideth in him, of himself also, so to walk, even as he or Christ walked. John said that if he that said that Christ abides in you, there is a moral obligation that we live a Christian lifestyle as Christ lived. What type of lifestyle did Christ live? Look at Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38. Luke wrote about the life that Christ lived. He said in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Notice what it said about Christ, who went about doing good. That's the Christian lifestyle, going about doing good, living the Christian lifestyle. This walk with the Lord should be seen in our religious, in our moral, and in our spiritual lives. Yeah, that's the type of life we ought to live. I think I said on last week in John chapter 8 and verse number 12, Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. John 8:12. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so, again, if we're walking with the Lord, then our walk is evident in our walk and our moral, spiritual, and religious walk. John then said, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. What was the commandment? It was the love of God. The love of God. That's not a new commandment. The love of God. That's essential to your salvation from sin. It was the love of God. John said, that's not a new commandment. And then he said again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shines. And so John says that there's a part of our life should be the past. That part of our life is past. John said, a new commandment I give. But that light that's past, Peter talks about it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 2, that past life we talked about that the Christian has to grow and develop from. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2, Peter said that he, talking about the Christian, no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And I talked about on last week about the lust of the flesh. Notice he said, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentile. When we live like the world, Peter says that part of our life should have passed when we walked in lasciviousness and lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatry. Peter says that part of our life when we were living outside of the Lord, living, partying, a lifestyle of partying, drinking, and doing all that stuff, that part of our life should be in the past. If you're a Christian, you ought not be participating in none of that behavior. None of it. Why? Because you're trying to walk in the light. Notice in John chapter 13, Jesus talks about that new commandment in John chapter 13 and the verse is number 34. John 13 and the verse is number 34. Jesus said here, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also, notice what he said now, love one another. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So watch what John says after that. Go back to 1 John chapter 2. And then verse number 9. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Notice what John writes then. He that saith, notice again, he said, he that saith, he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. Church, I want you to know, there is no place for middle ground in Christianity. Either you're walking in light or you're walking in dark. And John says, here, light is goodness. John said, if you hate your brother, you are in darkness. I talked about that in from Genesis chapter 1. You either have light or you have darkness. Darkness is badness. So how do I know if I'm in darkness? John said, qualifies one of it. If you have a strong dislike for anyone, that's your brother, that's dark. If you're one that have a desire to hurt another Christian, you're walking in darkness. If you are walking around with unjustifiable feelings toward another Christian, you are walking in darkness. We can talk about all the Christianity and all the Christian I am, but if in your heart you got hatred or dislike for another Christian, you are in darkness right now. You need to repent of that. You need to repent. of that. You got ill will toward anyone. You need to repent of that. Because John said, you're in darkness right now. Yeah. And I want to say to all of us that are in the Lord's body, please don't say you are a member of the Church of Christ and then you act like the world. What is acting like the world? Look at Matthew chapter 5. Show you how the world acts. Yeah, because some of us in the church, our attitudes can be just like in the world. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 46, for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same. In other words, some of us, we like people that like us, and we dislike people that we know don't care for us. That's worldly behavior. That's acting like the world. Because as a Christian, Jesus said two verses ahead, but I say unto you, how's a Christian act? He said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Yeah, you got to learn, as Jesus showed the example in Matthew 5:45, when he said, for he, talking about God, maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Can you treat people fairly that don't treat you fairly? Can you be good to everyone? That's what John's talking about. In John chapter 1, verse number 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. John said those Christians that abided in the light are watchful to not fall into hateful acts. You know, as a Christian, I got to be careful that I don't hate on nobody. Those Christians that walk in the light, they're mindful to check themselves to make sure they do self-inventory, that I'm not walking around here angry and mad and mean and hateful towards somebody because they done me wrong. John says, he that hated his brother, verse 11, is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. See, when you walk around, and sometimes we would justify our treating someone mean. Well, there is no justification for treating anyone mean. Because the Bible teaches us, and let me give you a Bible for that. When you talk about, sometimes we sin through ignorance of the scripture. I gave us that. Notice what Paul said to the Romans in Romans chapter 12, and I begin at verse 17, where he said, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Why, Paul? Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but don't get revenge, but rather give place to wrath. Let the person get away with his malice, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, said the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, the Bible says, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap hot coals of fire on his head. How do we overcome evil? Paul said, be not overcome of evil, but you overcome evil with good. That's what Jesus did. Those same people that put him on the cross, those same people that he knew was going to put him on the cross. Judas, one of his old disciples, who was going to betray him, Jesus loved him until the end. And then on the cross, Jesus said, God, for Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's growing to that level that John talked about in this text. He talks about being levels of Christian maturity. Notice what he said in verse 12. I write unto you, little children, those babes in Christ, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So John said, he's starting now to write to not your physical age, your spiritual age. So he's talking about those babes in Christ. He said, I want you to know, I'm writing unto you. Remember, that's my title. These things I'm writing. John said, I'm writing unto you, little children, because I want you to know your sins are forgiven you. Those babes in Christ, whatever you've done, no matter what you've done, when you were water baptized for the forgiveness, God forgave you of all your sins. I said that in the Romans letter when I talked about his death on the cross, what he did for us. He paid that sin debt. We receive remissions of sin that are paid. And then he says, I write unto you, Father, these are the spiritual mature, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Then he says, I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Then again he says, I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. All you know is that you've known God, and you obey God, and you become a Christian. But he said, for those middle Christians, he said, I write unto you, because you defeated the wicked one. You're fighting the wicked one, and you are winning over him. And then he said to the fathers, those spiritual mature, those pillars in the Lord, he said, you've known him. That is from the time you obeyed a Christian, you knew Christ, and you just growed in Christ from the time you know him. And then my last verse, he talks to him again. First he said, I wrote unto you, or I write unto you. Then he tells him, I have written unto you. And he repeats, fathers, those spiritual mature people, because you have known God that is from the beginning. He said, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. Those middle age Christians that we have in our ministry, those young adults, those middle age, what John says here, you're strong. You're strong. And the word of God abideth in you. And it abideth in you that you can overcome the wicked ones. Young people, let me share with you. You need to stay in the book. Brother Brooks talked about this morning. Sometimes we are not careful. Our life is about making money. how much are buying cars and houses and things, and our priority is all about making money to spend on ourselves. Nothing wrong with making money. Nothing wrong with making money if you have your priorities in order. Well, what my priority should be, Brother Strauss? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 17. I'll tell you how you prioritize life, young people, because if we're not careful, sometimes we don't give to the Lord faithfully because of all the money we spend on ourselves and on things. But in 1 Timothy 6:17, Paul said, charge them that are rich in the world, those people that have money, watch this now, that they be not high-minded. Don't allow yourself to get conceited. Don't start thinking because you make money that you are all that. And let me tell you, those of us in the church, don't judge a person by the fact that he have things. Brother Bush talked about that this morning. He said, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things. Nothing wrong with enjoying the money that I have. But also, he said, what else can I do with that money? Verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to communicate, meaning willing to share what you have. Yeah, that takes some growth. It ain't all about me. It ain't all about what I got and what I have. And I don't put making money before worshiping God. No, I'll leave overtime on the time because I want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I want to be faithful to worship service. And if I'm inconvenienced by my job, I want to see how can I change my hours that I can worship God and be available for Wednesday night. My question is, I've talked about before, where are you on Wednesday night? Are you on the conference call? Brother Tim, give out the numbers. Are you faithfully in Bible class on Wednesday night? If you say that you walk in the light and don't keep his commandments, John said, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. And we know from John 8:44 that the devil is the father of lies. Let me drop this for our close. In Revelation 21, tell us, because we can talk a good game, but are you growing? In Revelation 21 and verse 8, my last text, and I'll extend the invitation. John wrote, this same John wrote, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and, notice what it says now, all liars, I can live a lie, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those that are faithful will die once. Those that are not will die a second death. He said all liars shall have their part. And so John talked about that. If you say you know him and you're not living right, you're living a lie. You're living a lie. Do we all sin? John talked about that. We all going to sin. We say don't sin, we make him a liar. Yeah. But John still said that I write this, that you sin not. We stop missing the mark. We stop giving in to the flesh. We become knowledgeable and not ignorant of Scripture. We don't let the devil catch us off guard and commit unintentional sin. John said, my little children, these things I write unto you. If you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, how does one become a Christian? A member of the Church of Christ, the only church in the Bible, a child of God? John said, the same John said, that Jesus answered and said in John 3:3, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. One must hear the gospel. I've expanded on the gospel today that Jesus Christ, he died for our sin, he was buried, he rose again the third day. That is the gospel. You have to believe that gospel. You can't be unbelieving. You have to believe that gospel. You have to repent of your sin, meaning you have to turn to God. You made the confession that found in Acts 8:37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then you must be water baptized. That's what Jesus told him. You have to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, John 3:5. Then the Lord will add you to the only church in the Bible, Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. You're not a Christian. I beseech you that you become one by obeying the will of God. John said, my little children, these things I write unto you. Thank you very much for your patience this afternoon as I tried to share with you the word of God.